Anya?
Yes?
We're going to move you now. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Two men came into the tent. Each grabbed an end of Anya's cot and lifted. They carried her carefully outside, making sure not to jostle the cot too much. Anya was still connected to the IV, and Pradesh held that above her as they walked. Some of the workers stopped to see what was going on, but the site still buzzed with activity. Anya looked up and saw the back of the ambulance doors open. The two men slid the cot into the rear of the ambulance and then shut one of the doors. They left the other door open, and Pradesh hopped into the back of the wagon.
You okay?
Uh-huh.
Pradesh hung the IV up in the back of the ambulance.
All right. These guys are going to take you back to Hyderabad and get you squared away at the hospital. I've called Frank's room to let him know that you're on the way back to the city. I'm sure he'll be waiting for you when you get there.
Thank you, Pradesh.
Just doing my job, Anya.
No, you've gone above and beyond the call of duty. If my breath wasn't so horrendous right now, I might give you a big kiss.
Well, thank you. It's very nice of you to say. I may ask you to pass that along to the mayor.
Anything you need. Just ask.
I'll see you back at the hospital.
Anya was alone in the back of the ambulance. She closed her eyes.
I'm ready, guys. Let's get the hell out of this place.
Then the back door opened, and Dhanraj jumped inside.
What are you doing here?
I wanted to see if it would be all right for me to hitch a ride back to the city with you.
What, you don't have your own car?
Actually, no. Pradesh insisted I ride out with him in his cruiser. So that leaves me without a way back, and I have some pressing business to attend to. I'd consider it a great honor if you'd let me come along.
Sure. Whatever. I might fall asleep on you, though.
No problem. Chol Choltehe.
Dhanraj tapped her IV bag.
You're just about empty here. Let me hook you up with a fresh one.
You don't have to...
Nonsense. I trained as a volunteer paramedic in school. We used to work the motorbike races on the Isle of Wight. And let me tell you, I saw my fair share of grievous injuries.
Dhanraj attached the new bag and fed it into the line.
There. All set.
Anya felt every bump as the wheels rolled over the uneven ground.
Ow.
That's the problem with construction sites. They're always so full of potholes and ditches.
How in the world did you ever manage to build an underground highway? It's amazing.
Thank you. Oh, it wasn't easy, of course, but I had a number of other projects in the area, which made hiding the construction of the highway fairly easy.
A secret highway like this must have been a boon for your other projects.
Absolutely. It's allowed me to save a tremendous amount of money that I've subsequently channeled into other projects.
Not to mention your bank account.
I'm not only about the money, Anya. I do a lot of good work with inner-city charities. Children who would never have a chance at a successful life now have opportunities thanks to my generous donations.
That's very kind of you. But weren't you worried that someone might find out about your road here?
Certainly. The key, of course, was ensuring that none of the workers ever spoke of it.
Was that difficult?
I've been blessed in my life with the power of money.
Yeah, but not everyone is so easily bought off, are they?
No, I didn't find it too difficult to ensure silence. A few extra bonuses here and there, and the vast majority of workers were more than happy to never speak of it.
But not all of them?
Well, we had one or two who proved to be less than willing to go along with our plans.
And what'd you do to them? I mean, if they couldn't be bought off. How did you ensure their secrecy?
I made sure they knew that if they tried to talk to reporters, I would take whatever steps I deemed necessary to protect myself.
Including force?
Anya, I have at my disposal a veritable army of lawyers who like nothing better than to charge me exorbitant hourly fees to take care of people like the ones who threatened to expose me.
You sued them?
The workers were obligated to sign a confidentiality agreement when they started working for me. If they breached that agreement, I was able to silence them with just the threat of legal action.
So it all worked out for you. That's great.
Right up until my brother went off the rails and started jeopardizing my plans here. That was unacceptable, obviously.
Yeah. Real shame about that.
You did me rather a big favor, Anya.
Did I?
If you hadn't killed him, I might have been forced to do it myself. And I so dislike the idea of getting my hands dirty.
I'm not sure if you're joking about this or not.
Do you think I'm the type of man who makes a joke like that without there being something behind it?
I have no idea.
You killed my brother. and it saved me from a lengthy prison sentence. So on that level, I must thank you.
You're welcome.
You need to rest. Believe me, there will be plenty of time to talk once we arrive.
Anya closed her eyes, but not before she saw a thin smile crossed on Raj's lips. When Anya awoke, she opened her eyes and glanced around, confused. She wasn't in a hospital room. She was in darkness. Again.
Where am I?
Anya?
What are you doing here?
Dhanraj, you were right, Anya. He's bad news.
I thought he said his brother was the sociopath.
That's what he wants everyone to believe.
Who are you?
She's not used to the darkness yet. It's Cormy. Remember?
Cormy? My God, I thought they killed you when we were escaping. I saw them jump on you.
Yes, and I killed a number of them with my bare hands, too. But in the end, there were too many to handle on my own.
I should have stayed. Together we could have defeated them all.
No, it was far more important that you get away. Although it appears it was all for nothing if we just ended up back in this accursed mountain again.
Someone better clue me in on what Dhanraj is up to here. First I find out he's got a nutcase twin brother, and then Dhanraj is supposed to be some saint, and now it appears he was a scumbag all along. Seriously, what the hell is going on?
I wish we knew. I was on my way back to Hyderabad when the driver suddenly pulled a gun on me and drove me back to the mountain. I've been here ever since. Cormy was already here, and this time the cell has bars on it. I guess they're not taking any chances of us escaping this time.
Oh, wonderful.
Anya was able to sit up at least. As for the poison, she felt as though she'd gotten most of it out of her system, although she was still lethargic.
I'm assuming Dhanraj drugged me with the new IV bag he administered. Jerk.
You were unresponsive when they brought you in here. We feared the worst, but your breathing has been slow and steady, so we understood that you were sleeping off a powerful sedative.
None of this makes sense. What is Dhanraj up to? He could have blamed this entire thing on his brother and walked away from it all, probably all the richer to boot.
If it's true that he had a twin brother.
It is true. I saw the corpse, and believe me, they look exactly alike. And the one I saw wasn't breathing. He was definitely a twin.
Then was Dhanraj ever here at all?
He must have been. I found a condominium built into the mountain. It looked similar to the style of the reception room that we were in at the welcome party.
It makes sense that Dhanraj would have tried to make him as comfortable as possible, given the sentence he'd imposed on him.
Living his life out inside a mountain? I almost wonder who the evil one is here. I can't imagine never seeing the sun. I'm surprised Dunraj's brother didn't look albino or something.
The fact that Dhanraj had a brother would certainly have enabled him to do any number of things and appear to have a watertight alibi. If the sane brother was in Hyderabad, then whatever his crazy brother was up to, it would provide Dhanraj with a wonderful excuse.
But was it really his brother?
What do you mean?
I've heard reports of some dictators having clones of themselves made. Well, not actual clones, but they have people who look a lot like them to begin with, undergo plastic surgery, and then become body doubles. Saddam Hussein and Kim Jong-il were known to have done it.
I don't know that it really makes a difference. Whether it was a twin brother or not, the fact remains that he's dead, and that leaves Dhanraj behind to do God knows what.
That's the big question. What is he up to?
Would it be connected with the highway?
What highway?
There's a secret highway under the mountain that connects this place to Hyderabad.
You're joking.
She's not. I rode on the damn thing. It's a marvel of engineering.
When we were recruited, it seemed so honorable. We were defending the sacred lands of Kali. I see now that I have been gravely misled and used as a pawn in another man's evil scheme.
Why were you recruited? You said that Dhanraj was descended from Thagi, but is that true?
I do not know now what to believe. We were all told that Dhanraj came from a long line of Thagi, but that may have simply been to get us to join his cause.
What did he tell you?
That the lands upon which we now sit were in danger of being destroyed by developers. We would become Kali's soldiers. We would use fear and terror to make those residents abandon their properties so the land could remain with Kali.
I wonder.
About what?
Dhanraj told me that he bought worker silence with money and confidentiality agreements. But he also mentioned there were a few people who wanted to spill the beans on his little underground highway. Wouldn't it have been easy for him to simply have his band of thugs kill them? The killers would think they were doing it in Kali's name, but they were actually taking care of a problem for Dunraj. Three less people who knew about his construction project.
But the residential development isn't one of Dunraj's projects.
True. But imagine if the developer couldn't sell the housing units due to crime. He'd be forced to sell the property or risk foreclosure. And Dunraj could step in, buy the place dirt cheap, and then announce that he had a highway leading back to Hyderabad. The ease of commute would open up this region to a lot more development, and Dunraj would be ideally suited to capitalize on it. He'd sell out in a number of weeks and laugh all the way to the bank.
So, this was never about worshipping Kali. Oh, I feel like such a fool.
You wouldn't be the first believer tricked in the name of a god. History's full of them.
I feel terrible about my role in this. I believed I was right, and in the end, I was just a fool, easily manipulated into doing something horrible for an evil man.
You never killed, though, Cormie. And you even tried to help me. That's got to count for something.
I should have been smart enough to see through it. And now my life is forfeit for the evil I've committed on that man's behalf. Gods have mercy on my soul.
Calm down, Cormie. No one here is casting judgment on your actions. At least not yet. Right now we've got to find a way out of this mess.
It seems a sure bet that Dunraj will come back shortly, and when he does, I don't get the feeling he's going to invite us all up for dinner.
He'll be looking to kill us. He's got to make sure no one ever gets word of what really happened here. Once we're dead, that won't be a problem.
What about the workers?
What about them? If anyone talks, they'll either be bought off, threatened with legal action, or killed. Possibly they might even have their hearts eaten. Dunraj has all his bases covered.
So what can we do?
I don't know. Where was Pradesh when all this went down, anyway?
Wasn't he with you?
No, he said he'd meet us back in Hyderabad. At least I think that's what he said.
You're not sure?
Frank, I was doped up, fighting off the poison that Dunraj Number One had managed to nearly kill me with. My mind wasn't exactly at its best, you know?
Yeah, sorry, Anya.
Who is this man you call Pradesh?
Sorry, he's a police officer with Hyderabad. He came out once Frank got himself back to the city. He's been a friend of ours since we arrived.
You're certain of this?
Certain of what?
His allegiance. You are certain he is not in league with Dunraj?
I don't know what to believe about Pradesh.
I don't think he is.
Yes.
I've got a gut feeling about this. Whatever Dunraj is up to, I don't think Pradesh is involved.
You really believe that?
Yeah, I do.
If that is so, then where is Pradesh now?
Maybe he's back in Hyderabad. Hell, maybe he found out about Dunraj and Dunraj had him shot. He could be anywhere right now. I just know that I feel like he's on the level. I can't explain it.
Well, I for one hope you're right, Frank. Because we could really use a friend on the outside right now.
Very true. It will only be a matter of time before Dunraj returns to exact his vengeance on all of us. Most especially me.
Why you?
Because I helped Anya escape. It was my action that set this chain of events in motion. It is my karma to pay for what I did. For what it cost Dunraj and his brother.
Consider it your attempt to make up for the evil you've committed. I'm sure your goddess Kali will look upon you with favor for having the bravery to do what you did.
But I wonder if that will be the case. Kali is not a forgiving goddess, and she may find my lack of loyalty to Dunraj loathsome. I shudder to think what she will do to me in the afterlife.
Well, how about this? Let's do our best to make sure none of us heads off to the afterlife.
And how will we do that?
By fighting back. When Dunraj comes for us, he's gonna get the surprise of a lifetime.
And just how the hell are you planning on mounting an offensive, Anya? I mean, I'm all for it. The guy's a real piece of crap. But I don't see what we can do. He's got us locked up.
Good point. Is this the same cell?
No. We are in a different part of the tunnel system. On an upper level from where you were being held before.
But you still know how to find your way around?
Of course.
Anya felt the heavy wood of the cell door, and then let her hand wander through the metal bars.
It's an old bolt lock.
I didn't know you knew anything about locks.
Frank, trust me, there are plenty of things you don't know about me. Yet.
Yet?
Are you guys ready to get out of here?
Of course, but are you? You are still fighting off the effects of the poison and the sedative, aren't you?
I think I'm good.
Are you sure you can do this? We might have to fight.
That's what I'm counting on. I'm tired of waiting for Dunraj. It's time we took the fight to him.
But how will you get us out of this cell?
Anya grasped her sword. Its grayish light illuminated Frank's and Cormie's shock at its sudden appearance.
What the hell?
Goddess.
Told you there was plenty you didn't know about me. But I'd better never catch you saying anything to anyone back at the office about this. If you do, then I might have to use it on you. You got it?
Yeah, absolutely.
How is it that you have such a weapon as this? It is not natural.
You're telling me.
How come you didn't whip that thing out before and make sushi out of Dunraj?
We were tied up, remember? I couldn't take the sword out while my hands were tied behind my back.
And on the conveyor belt?
Same thing. My hands were stretched so flat I couldn't grip the hilt of the sword.
Yeah, but that door is pretty solid.
I'm willing to bet the sword can get us out. You want to see?
Hell yes! Let's get out of here and find this Dunraj guy.
I am ready to.
Great. Stand back.
Anya aimed the tip of her blade directly at the lock and stabbed the sword right through it. The cell frame shuddered, but the door hadn't budged.
Must be stronger than I expected.
On the second thrust, the lock shattered. Anya grabbed at the bars and swung the door open.
All right, let's go. Cormie, we need to find Dunraj before he can sick the rest of his men on us. Do you know where he might be?
I don't.
Take us out the way you took me. I'm willing to bet that Dunraj is hanging out in the condominium.
He's got a condo here?
You wouldn't believe it.
Anya, you just pulled a sword out of nowhere in front of me. There's probably not a whole lot left I won't believe.
This way.
They ran through a tunnel that sloped upward. As they traveled its length, parts of it felt familiar. It wasn't until they came to an intersection that Anya recognized it as the place where they'd almost been surrounded when she'd been here with Cormie earlier.
This is where we fought together.
Yes, the exit is just ahead.
So much for the element of surprise.
You know the way. Let's go.
They ran out. The sun was setting again. It was deja vu for Anya as she made her way down the game trail. At any moment, she expected Dunraj's men to start shooting volleys of lead at them, but they didn't.
They're not chasing us?
That is odd. Perhaps they don't know where we are just yet.
Well, let's not stand here out in the open. How about we get to wherever it is we're going and try to regain some surprise, huh?
This time, when she got to the valley with the giant boulder, Anya took care how she stepped. She didn't want to trip again and risk re-injuring her ankle. It was still a little painful.
The hidden door is under it.
Under it? How do you get under a rock that freaking big?
There's a space. You can crawl in and then you'll find the secret entrance.
You'd better go first. After all, you've got the big old sword, and if anyone's waiting on the other side, it'd be better if you met them.
This time, Anya found the door easily now that she knew it was there. She slid it open. Then she let herself down the steep path that brought her back into the mountain. Inside, Anya showed them the passage that led off the room.
How did you ever find this?
I thought Dunraj's men were going to chase me, so I kept going. I was worried that if they found me in this room, they'd be able to overwhelm me, so I followed the passageway, and this is where it leads.
And there's another door off this one?
The entrance to Dunraj's condo, or his brother's. I don't know who was using it, but it's here.
How do we get in?
Follow me.
Anya crouched on the floor of the passage and made her way to the end of the tunnel before she turned and opened the door. Inside, the condominium was darker than before. Anya stood and let Frank and Cormie through into the palatial surroundings.
What do you think?
Amazing this could even be inside a mountain.
I too am amazed. The level of luxury here is far removed from the harsh existence we were told to endure.
Dunraj's brother was content to be a hypocrite.
So, if this is where he lives, then why isn't he here right now?
I thought he would be.
So what? We wait?
Dunraj may choose to come back here and take shelter while they look for us. If that happens, we will be able to catch him.
Yeah. Let's set up the ambush. There's another exit in the bedroom.
Another door?
Through the closet. It leads out and down to the worksite. It's obviously easier to get to the worksite from here than it is the other set of tunnels. That's probably why none of the thuggy knew about this place.
If the others knew of this decadence, they would surely revolt.
Well, there will be time enough for that soon enough. Now let's get into position.
Oh, this place is incredible. How do the windows work?
Near as I can figure, he's got light bulbs behind them that can dim or brighten depending on the hour of the day. Everything about this place is supposed to convey the idea that it's a normal apartment.
When in reality, it's a prison cell.
For a crazy man.
I would thank you not to talk so rudely about my kin.
The lights came on. Dunraj stood across the bedroom from them, a pistol in his hand. There were other men in the room as well, dressed in military-style fatigues, and they each had a submachine gun.
Looks like we walked right into a trap.
And you've just made my job a whole lot easier now that I don't have to chase you through those tunnels. I never understood them half as well as my brother.
So he was your brother.
What I told you was the truth. My brother suffered from a mental condition his entire life.
Until I killed him.
Yes, until you wandered into my city and turned my plans upside down.
It's time we ended this.
But you're not going to do anything with that sword, Anya. In fact, if I even see you flinch, my men here will rake you with enough bullets to make Swiss cheese jealous.
Oh, that's cute. Did it take you all night to come up with that one?
I don't know where you found that sword. It's true I don't have this entire mountain explored, but I want you to throw it away. Right now.
Throw it away?
Or else I will have my men shoot.
Yeah. Okay.
Anya threw the sword across the room so that it slid under the bed. As it disappeared from view, she knew that it was back in the otherwhere.
Better. Much better. Now, how about we all go downstairs and have a much longer conversation? Frankly, being here in my brother's home feels a little odd now that he's dead.
They marched one by one through the walk-in closet. They continued into the passage that led down to the worksite. As they came out of the passage, Anya was shocked at what she saw. Corpses were stacked like firewood nearby, all of them swathed in black. The members of Dunraj's brother's thuggy army had been executed. And now Dunraj was disposing of them.
I just couldn't take the chance that any of them wouldn't keep their mouths shut. Given what they'd done, it seemed only fitting that they should also answer for their crimes.
You're erasing all evidence of what happened here. If it doesn't exist, you can't be held accountable.
I still maintain that we could be so good together, you and I. I don't have to explain anything to you. I have to tell you, it's rather captivating to be in the presence of a beautiful woman with such an acute and imaginative mind, not to mention the ability to fight as well as you do.
That's gotta be the most interesting pickup line I've heard over the years. But as flattered as I am, I'll have to say no. I mean, how could we ever have a relationship? You'd never trust me. You don't trust anyone. And that's your problem, isn't it? All your life, you've never found anyone to equal you.
Until now. I could give you everything you've ever dreamed of. And probably plenty you haven't even dared imagine yet.
As I said, tempting. But I'm afraid we're two different people. I'm trying to make a stand for good, and you're only too willing to roll right over anyone who doesn't play by your rules.
That's only because the rules have rolled over me more than once. I had to play things my way in order to become who I am now.
Oh, please. You should just stop killing people.
Well, I can't do that, can I?
What do you mean?
You, Frank, and that guy over there, all you know what happened here. That's not acceptable. Anyone who knows about this place could conceivably tell others. And I can't take that chance.
More trust issues. Is that why you brought in your personal little army here?
They're Tamil tigers. Do you know about them?
Yeah, I know about the tigers. They're terrorists. Their crimes make you look like an altar boy.
One man's terrorists are another man's freedom fighters. And these freedom fighters just happen to be cash-strapped. Nothing like a side job to help the coffers of the revolution.
These guys can't stand elitists like you. How the hell did you convince them to come to your aid?
I promised them something that they appreciated.
As Dunraj said it, Anya saw the arm of a crane moving. Suspended from it was the giant statue of Kali, with the golden arms and jewel-encrusted body. A treasure that must be worth many millions of dollars.
Just like that? You're giving them a statue that belongs in a museum.
It's an item of antiquity. It does nothing for me. But apparently the tigers like such things. When I told them what I had, they were only too willing to come to my assistance for this small job.
And what about the other workers here? The construction workers on the highway project?
What about them?
Are you gonna kill them, too?
I don't think I'm going to have to do that.
Why not? Any one of them could spill the beans about your project here and the things you're doing now.
That's true, but I'm hoping that after I illustrate how serious I am, I won't have to worry about anyone becoming chatty.
Illustrate?
You'll find out very soon.
Dunraj walked away toward the crane and directed the operator to swing the statue down to a flatbed truck waiting on the lower level.
This isn't good. These guys with Dunraj are professionals. They won't hesitate to kill us. Make sure you don't do anything stupid.
I think it's too late for that. After all, I agreed to come on this trip in the first place.
Wish you were back in New York?
Every damn minute.
Good. That'll give you something to fight for.
You're not doing much to inspire me with confidence here, Anya.
Yeah, you're gonna have to find your own confidence if you hope to get out of this alive. I'm gonna have my hands full dealing with the tigers. When the time comes, you take the guy closest to you and don't stop until you hear my voice. Got it?
Yep.
Tell Cormie.
I think he knows. He's been watching you the entire time we've been here. He's just waiting for your signal.
Okay.
Anya surveyed the scene. There were 10 tigers to deal with in her immediate vicinity. They were staggered along one side, carefully arranged so that if they needed to shoot, they wouldn't risk hitting one of their own. The crane with the Kali statue drew closer. The statue swung precariously on the end of a giant steel cable. Even from this distance, Anya could see the incredible detail achieved by the craftsman who had made the statue. It had been brought to this mountain for some reason, and now it was being callously removed for the purpose of paying off mercenaries. The important thing about the movement of the crane was that as it drew closer to the group, Anya, Frank, and Cormie were forced to move out of its way, closer to the tigers. They all had their fingers on their trigger guards. They weren't unseasoned amateurs. If they felt the threat, they'd shoot immediately, whether Dunraj told them to or not. As the statue swung closer, its momentum carried it directly into the line of sight of the tigers. That was the moment Anya was waiting for.
Anya!
What is it?
Look!
Anya followed Frank's gaze and saw what he was seeing at the bottom of the work area. Dunraj was leading another captive up the walkway.
Oh, no.
Well, at least we know he wasn't in league with them. That's some consolation, I suppose.
Not much. He was my last hope for rescue.
As Anya watched, Dunraj poked Pradesh in the back with his pistol.
Get on up there with the rest of them, my good friend. You will shortly meet your destiny.
Pradesh stumbled into line with them. He looked as though someone had beat the crap out of him. His right eye was swollen shut and he was limping badly.
What happened to you?
I was mugged, I think, outside my precinct. They attacked me and threw me in the back of a van and drove me here. I had been getting ready to come back and mount another search for you. I've been looking for you, Anya, ever since you failed to show up at the hospital.
Enough! You can all commiserate with one another when you get to the afterlife and figure out which one of you is coming back as a fruit fly.
I should tell you something.
What's that?
Before I killed your brother, I told him something I think you'll find important to your future.
Oh? And what was that?
I told him that if he killed me, I was going to come back and haunt him for the rest of eternity.
And what did my brother say when you told him this?
He laughed. Until I came back from the dead and sent him to hell.
I have to say it again. We could have been great together, Anya. Remember that as the first bullets pierce your flesh, will you?
Then Dunraj turned and walked toward the tigers. Anya watched Dunraj talk to one of the men standing closest to him. Anya assumed he was the leader of the tigers. He had a thick mustache and longer hair than the others.
Thanks for the nugget of information, Dunraj. When I make my move, he's going down first. Maybe the other tigers will scatter if their leader goes down. Probably not. The tigers have a notorious reputation for cruelty and tenacity. Still, it's worth a shot trying to disrupt their morale. And I need a target.
The crane continued to move the statue of Kali overhead, and Anya found herself momentarily distracted. Dunraj looked up as well, frowning.
Chaldise, kikad nikiria tike.
At his command, another worker nearby went running over to the crane's cab.
What's going on?
I don't know, but that creaking doesn't sound good, does it?
Perhaps the statue is too heavy for the cable. I've seen industrial accidents involving snapped cables. Not a very pleasant sight to behold.
Why?
When that cable snaps, people standing in its path get beheaded or sliced into pieces.
Frank stared back up at the swaying statue, his body visibly shrinking. The crane had stopped now, but the statue continued to sway back and forth, causing the cable to creak even more. Anya studied the crane, keeping one eye on the tigers, but all of them except their leader still had their eyes on Anya and the others. The moment wasn't right yet. The worker Dunraj had sent over came scrambling back and said something to his boss. Dunraj looked as if he wanted to slap the man, but restrained himself and then looked back at the tiger leader. He said a few words and then smiled. The worker moved off to the side and blew an air horn. Dunraj watched as the workers convened below them, and then spread his arms as if he was welcoming them as his family. He spoke in Hindi, but Pradesh translated for Anya and Frank.
My wonderful workers, I would like to extend my sincere thanks to you for the incredible work that you have accomplished here. Your efforts have been gallant, and we are well ahead of schedule. For that, you will all receive a substantial bonus in your next paycheck, along with my heartfelt gratitude. It is, as you all know, extremely important that the work you do here never be discussed with anyone on the outside. You are not to tell either your families or friends. It is a state secret, and divulging this information would threaten the national security of our great nation. It is unfortunate that we live in troubled times, where the loyalties of someone supposedly secure in their livelihood can be bought and sold like a carton of milk, where people would cut down one another in the hope of gaining some advantage, where spies lurk in our midst. Through our exhaustive investigative measures, we have found these four spying around the worksite. They are all spies working in the employ of a foreign government. We do not yet know who they are working for. It might well be the Americans or the British. What is important is that we were able to find them before they could do much damage to our hard work. We have found the traitors before they could complete their plans. Therefore, I have decided to show you how we deal with traitors, with people who do not have the honor to stay true to their confidentiality agreements each of you signed prior to coming to work here.
Last chance, Anya.
Marry me.
Never.
In a moment, I will ask my guards to execute these spies for their treachery. I want you all to watch and understand what happens to anyone who defies the glorious nature of what we have here. I will not tolerate disloyalty. I will not tolerate treachery or espionage. Let us all continue to work as hard as we can on this incredible project. If we come in a week ahead of schedule, each man will get a bonus double paycheck at the conclusion of the job.
Anything else to say to me?
Nice speech.
You speak Hindi?
I translate it.
Kind of you.
It sounded a little communist to me. Glorious work? The idea of communal labor for the betterment of all? I don't know, if I was a betting woman, I'd say you have socialist tendencies.
I'm 100% capitalist, thank you. In case you hadn't figured it out by now, what with the million-dollar condominium and expensive cars.
Yeah, the KGB used to have all those toys too.
Dunraj looked as if he was about to say something, but instead spun on his heel and stalked away. Anya glanced at Frank and Pradesh. Cormy drew closer behind her.
We're not going to get a better chance, so be ready.
When?
You'll know.
Dunraj reached the tiger leader and turned back.
I hope you enjoy your journey to hell, Anya Creed.
If you get there first, save a seat for me, would you?
And then Anya reached into the otherware. She threw the sword straight at the cable holding the giant statue of Kali and severed it.
Get down!
The cable snapped and whipped back down into the workers' midst. The statue plummeted to the ground, bursting apart, sending fragments into the group of tigers. Dust rained down on Anya and the others, but Anya was already on her feet, sword in hand. She charged the line of tigers. She cut through one who had stumbled under a rain of rocks, and then she reached the first few shooters. Anya was in their midst, cutting through bone, flesh, and gun alike. In her peripheral vision, she saw Pradesh already in the melee, disarming one of the tigers and reversing the gun, shooting him. And then Frank was in the thick of it as well, wielding his giant hands like Thor's hammer. He was almost by Anya's side. One of the tigers stabbed him in the shoulder. Frank fell to his knees. Anya was flying through the air as the tiger reared back, ready to drive the knife into the base of Frank's skull. Anya saw the tiger spin away, dead. Pradesh nodded at her, and Anya barely had time to smile a quick thanks. She jerked to the ground as a volley of bullets cut the air where she'd been standing. Anya wheeled around and cut horizontally, but she only sliced air. The shooter was too far away. She allowed the momentum to carry the sword over her head. She threw it through the air like a missile. It sank into the tiger's body, right through his heart. In an instant, Anya had the sword back in her hands. She saw Cormie fighting two men, and for a moment it looked as though they were going to get the better of him. They piled on top, and he went down. Anya saw him surge back and toss both men as if they were weightless. Anya jumped in the air, narrowly avoiding a hacking slash by one of the tigers, who had abandoned his gun in favor of a more close-quarters weapon, his huge knife. Anya backhanded him across the face, and he stumbled back. Instead of recoiling, he came at her, slashing and stabbing in a series of fluid movements that forced Anya to backpedal to gain some distance. She waited for the pause and the rhythm of his attack. She drove straight in, forcing her attacker on the defensive. Anya kept up the pressure, cutting down and back and forward. He tried to block one of her strikes, but she snapped his blade and sent it skittering away. Then she drove her sword into his sternum. She jerked it out again. The man slid to the ground, already dead. Anya took stock. Dunraj and the leader of the tigers were both nowhere to be seen. She turned to Pradesh, who had just dispatched another tiger.
Where is Dunraj?
I lost sight of him during the fighting.
I didn't notice where he went.
Cormie?
But Cormie only shrugged.
I don't know either.
We've still got a problem. Dunraj and the tiger leader are missing.
So now what?
We go find them.
Anya took a moment to examine Frank's shoulder injury. The knife hadn't gone all that deep, and she cut some cloth from the fallen tigers to make a bandage for him. Wrapping it, she nudged him.
You did good back there.
I've been in fights before, Anya.
For your life?
Well, no. Not until this time.
It's different when you fight for survival. No rules.
I guess rules pretty much went out the window here, didn't they?
Exactly.
Not to mention you've got a great big sword.
Well, yeah, but that's not the important difference.
Are you sure? It seemed pretty important when you were able to cut that steel cable.
I think it was only a matter of time before that cable snapped anyway. I just helped it along.
Well, it's a damn good thing you have it. And don't worry, I won't tell anybody about it. I just want to get out of here and go home.
We will. But we have to make sure we finish this.
Can't we just leave?
No.
Couldn't we just take off and leave Pradesh to handle it?
Yeah, we could do that, but that's not how I operate. The sword comes with a degree of responsibility.
Yeah, kind of like Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility, yada yada yada.
Exactly. If I was to walk out and leave Dunraj free to keep killing, then I wouldn't be living up to that ideal. I'd be ignoring the problem instead of solving it.
Is that what you do now? Solve problems?
Sometimes it feels like that.
Anya finished wrapping his shoulder and patted it.
You're all set. Can you move it?
Frank straightened his arm and Anya nodded.
All right. Grab one of the guns from the tigers. Make sure you've got a full clip and let's get going.
A full clip?
Never shot a gun before?
Not unless you count on my Xbox.
I don't.
Anya picked up one of the guns left behind. It was a Heckler & Koch MP5. She popped the clip, saw that it was almost full, and slapped it back home, hit the charging handle, and made sure the safety was on. She flipped it over and handed it to Frank.
This is the selector switch. It's on safe right now. That means it won't fire.
I know what a safety is, Anya.
Just checking. The first option down is semi-automatic, one bullet per squeeze of the trigger. The next option down is full auto spray and pray, as I like to call it. Try not to use full auto unless absolutely necessary. You'll go through your magazine too fast, and I don't know how long we'll have to chase Dunraj.
Okay, thanks.
Anya indicated the fallen tigers.
Get another magazine of bullets and stick it in your pants. Time's a-wasting.
Pradesh helped Frank find another magazine, and Cormie wandered over.
You sure about the boy?
He's not actually a boy, Cormie.
He's not a man yet, either.
True, but he acquitted himself pretty well here.
What is the expression? Beginner's luck. I do not wish the boy to have to face much more of this and risk his life. He is not born to be a warrior. You are. Pradesh too. And me. We should go on alone.
I don't disagree with you, Cormie. There's nothing I'd like better than to keep Frank safe. But I don't want to send him back to the hotel when Dunraj and his man are out there on the loose somewhere. Besides, he's doing some serious growing up on the trip.
What is the value of growing up only to die so soon? When it could be avoided?
Frank, come over here a moment, would you?
What's up?
It occurs to me that I never asked you if you'd be willing to come along. My fight shouldn't automatically become your fight. You've got a choice here. You can come with us to stop Dunraj, or grab a car and head back to Hyderabad and bring help. That's if Dunraj hasn't made it out of here and back to Hyderabad first.
I can tell you who to contact in my department. They will listen to you if I tell you what to say.
You saying you don't want me to come along?
I'm not saying that at all. But you're not well-versed in combat, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
But I think I'm too deep in it to back out now. I need to see this through to the end, one way or the other.
Stay behind me when the fighting starts. I do not agree with this, Anya Creed, but you did give the boy a choice.
And he's chosen. Dunraj and the Tiger Leader must have taken one of the paths out of here, but which way would they have gone?
If I were Dunraj, I'd want to get out of here quickly. The more distance he can put between himself and this place, the better.
You're thinking he took the highway?
It's what I would have done.
There were wounded workers all over trying to patch one another up. The workers stared at Anya and the others, but the weapons they held kept any of the workers from trying to start a fight. Anya pointed to where the statue lay in a million pieces. They walked among the dump trucks. Anya searched each of them, looking for any signs that Dunraj had been here. Most of them had no keys, and there was no evidence that any trucks had left since Dunraj called a halt to the work for his grand speech.
He must still be around here.
And he's still a threat.
Was he armed?
I think we have to assume he was. Plus, the leader of the armed men also had a weapon.
Wonderful. All right, we're gonna have to split up.
Are you sure that's wise?
It's the only way to check everything and make sure they're not moving around on us. Possibly flanking for a better angle to open up, you know?
I will take the left side.
And I will take the right, with the boy. Come with me, young warrior, and be careful with that weapon of yours.
Anya watched them head off on either side of her.
That leaves the middle for me.
As she crept among the giant wheels of the first dump truck, Anya gripped the sword in front of her in a two-handed stance that she favored when she didn't know what was going to materialize in front of her. She crept closer to the second dump truck, its wheels caked with mud and dirt. Anya froze. She searched, but saw nothing. Anya forced herself to relax and expand her awareness outward, sensing. And when she rounded the side of the next dump truck, she wasn't surprised to see Dunraj leaning against it, a strange expression on his face.
Hello again, Anya.
Waiting for me?
I wasn't going anywhere, apparently.
Anya then saw the leader of the Tigers move out from behind Dunraj. He had a gun aimed at Dunraj's head.
Put away your sword, little woman, or else I kill him.
You want to beat me to the punch?
I tried to explain that to him. Really, I did. But this chap doesn't seem to understand how things work.
Go ahead. Put the bullet in his head. See if I care.
Although, if he does do that, then I'm afraid you will all be in a bit of a pickle.
Yeah?
A rather explosive jar of pickles, actually. You didn't think I'd gotten this far in life without being extremely careful, did you?
You could have fooled me. You're the one with a gun aimed at your head right now. So how come the honeymoon's over? I thought you guys were BFFs.
I really wish you hadn't brought that up, Anya.
Tell her! Tell her what you did to us!
Uh-oh, Dunraj. Sounds like you weren't playing fair and square with the Tigers. What's the matter? Did he find out that statue you promised them wasn't made entirely of gold?
Severing the cable proved that, didn't it?
Solid gold statues don't usually shatter into a million pieces, do they?
They do not.
You double-crossed us! And now my men are dead, and I have nothing to show for it!
Yes, but I didn't kill your men, she did.
Don't think you're going anywhere either, little woman. You and I have unfinished business.
Aren't you gonna kill him first? Because really, don't let me hold you up.
Do that, and this whole cavern will explode into a fireball the likes of which no one will be able to survive. One of my subordinates will make sure of it. There's enough high explosive packed into these walls to melt steel. And in case you didn't know, human flesh melts at a much lower temperature than steel.
And why should we believe you? After all, you've been lying in one way or another since we met.
Don't believe me then. Shoot me in the head and get it over with. But if you do, then you'll never get out of here with the actual statue. And you'll die as well.
Do you believe him?
I don't even know your name. Why would you care what I think?
My name is Anoop.
You lead the Tigers?
Not even close. I am a cell commander. When Dunraj hired us, I was ordered to come here and help him.
How long have you been on his payroll?
Several months. And he promised us a gold statue that we could melt down and use to finance our struggle for independence.
Several months? That's considerably longer than the time we've been in town. So, Dunraj, what have you been up to around these parts that you need assistance from a group like the Tigers?
None of your business.
I could just ask Anoop here. He doesn't seem all that friendly with you since you betrayed his trust.
Dunraj has engaged us in a series of assassinations.
Really? And who were your targets?
Developers in the area, mostly. One or two government officials, but their deaths were designed to look like accidents.
Taking care of the competition, were you? What's the matter? Things getting a bit cutthroat in Hyderabad?
I had some outside competition that needed handling. Nothing too terrible. And since they were done correctly, the papers never even noticed a trend. It just seemed like a rather fortuitous streak for me.
Well, that's the problem with streaks. They always seem to come to an end. How are you planning on getting the statue out of here, Anoop? On a truck?
Of course. How else could we manage it?
I'll bet the real one is still kicking around here someplace. Knowing Dunraj, he probably hid it under a pile of dirt in one of these trucks. And once he had you take the junk one away, he'd be free to melt down the other one.
Dunraj, you are a fool.
What would have happened when they tried to melt it down, Dunraj? They would have discovered the ruse. What would have prevented them from coming after you then?
Nothing, I suppose.
You're not telling us everything, are you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's no way you'd be that reckless. Once the Tigers found out you duped them, they'd put a contract out on you. You'd be a dead man walking and you wouldn't be able to go anywhere. They'd find you eventually.
Everyone dies sometime. Look, I rolled the dice and this time it didn't come up in my favor.
I should kill him now!
Obviously. But then we have that little problem of the bombs he's left behind.
What do you suggest?
I don't know yet. I'm still intrigued by the idea that Dunraj was trying to trick you into taking that statue.
You're wasting your time, Anya. It was a gambit that didn't pan out for me.
You should come with me, Anoop. And bring him. I want to check something out.
What? What are you checking out? I'll shoot if I have to.
Relax. I just want to satisfy my own curiosity about something.
Do I need to remind you what happened to the cat that was too curious?
You're not in any position to give me advice right now.
Anya walked away from the dump trucks and toward where the statue had fallen. Behind her, Anoop was pushing Dunraj ahead of him. Anya found the area of impact and set about looking at the fractured pieces of the statue. Anoop watched closely.
What are you looking for?
I don't know yet, but I have a feeling that I'll recognize it when I see it.